thank you for all your protection. Thank you for your guidance throughout the days of my life. Thank you for keeping your strong arm over me. Even when I don't see it, you're there. Lord, I just want to say thank you this morning. Will you ask Him right now to prepare your heart, prepare your mind for everything He wants to say to you now? Father, we ask that. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. It's wonderful to see you in the house of the Lord. It bothers me a little bit to see the crowd a little thinner this morning. That's not because people have left me. Don't feel that way. No, it's because we've got Bacalark service next service. That means there's a lot of people. They're planning to catch the second one. So y'all be in prayer that we can get them all seated, parked, situated, and put where they need to be over this next few hours. And if you will, turn in your Bibles with me to John, the first chapter. John 1, just familiar scriptures, nothing that you haven't read 1,000 times. In your Bible study or hearing it quoted and John 1:1, and we'll begin reading there. I want to speak today on this simple thought: boudin and salsa. Look at the person beside you and tell them life begins with boudin and salsa. Life begins with boudin and salsa. It does, because over the next couple of weeks, it may take me 2 or 3, but over the next few weeks, I want to show you how to move beyond where you are. How to move in your life, how to move in your marriage, how to move in your job, how to move forward in your life over the next several weeks. Now, this won't happen in several weeks in your life, but I'll show you the way to get it done. I will show you the procedure that is required to be able to move forward in my life. And it begins this morning with this simple thought. Next week we'll be dealing with GPSs and everything else to try to help you on that area. But this morning I need you just to understand that it all begins right here. I grew up in the grocery business. And so one thing I understood about the grocery business is if you wanted to sell something, if you wanted to give something or cause people to buy something, we always would call some little old lady and we'd tell her, look, we're going to order about 10 cases of this stuff. And it's a new product and we're wanting people to start buying it. And so we're going to give you a little table and little sample cups and things like that. And we want you to try to get people to sample this stuff and taste this stuff. And that'll get them excited about buying it. And so it didn't matter if it was pizzas, it didn't matter what it was. We'd cook little pizzas and saw them up in little old bitty pieces, and man, you'd go by and eat those things. But we understood that life began, and we understood the sales began not when you put it on the shelf. The sale began when you could actually get somebody talking about it, having said, I've tasted it, having said, I've been a part of it. And so in moving forward in your life, here is the first thing you're going to have to understand, is that there has to be in your life some experiences that you have not had up till now. Anytime you're going to move forward in life, you are going to have to decide that I am going to begin to experience things that I've never experienced before. Because if I don't, there's no possible way I'm going to move forward in my life. Let me show you through God's Word what I'm speaking about and how this works. Go with me to John 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did what? that just because you put it on the shelf, just because you put it out there, in fact, David would say, the whole firmament declares that there's a God, but yet people would say, I don't believe in God. Just because you put it out there, and even today as scientists begin to start to have to agree and fuss about the fact that there is some type of creative design about all that is in this world, and they hate to even talk about it, and they don't want to debate it. And if anything, they'll say Martians came before we were here, and Martians planted us here, and that's how we are here. But there really is no God. It doesn't matter how we go. It's just the understanding that God established already on the shelf to say that I'm here. I don't need your approval. I don't need you to like me. I just am. And in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might do what? Believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world did what? Knew him not. Can you imagine that? He was in the world, walking around people that he made, created, designed, gave them their looks, gave them their identity, gave them their nationality, gave them everything about themselves. He was in the world, made the world, designed the world. There wasn't a piece of grass he ever stepped on that he didn't already knew about it before he had created it. There isn't a flower that grew, a fig tree that grew, that he didn't already know what it was going to look like, because he designed it in his own art. He designed it in his own craftiness. And he decided that I'm going to walk among the world, and yet here I am, I created all of this, but yet at the same time, they have no idea who I am. That had to be an incredible experience for Christ, to be walking around with that knowledge and that information, and yet at the same time, nobody knowing who he was. We get a glimpse of that at the age of 12, when he just is still in the learning stages of what to do and not to do. And if you say, well, no, Jesus had it all. No, the Bible says that he learned how to carry. He learned how to act. He learned how to talk. He learned. But at the age of 12, he was like most of, man, if we knew something at the age of 12, there's no way to keep it quiet. If mom and dad had an argument that morning, we went to church, the Sunday school teacher was going to know about it. Boy, you should have been at my house this morning, Miss so-and-so. Woo, mom and dad were just all up in it. Well, we don't need to talk about that. Well, they okay now. They're okay now. And Jesus was no different. Here he is at the age of 12, and some Pharisee states some statement, and Jesus is standing there at 12 and say, well, you almost got it right. But let me tell you how it really is. And he looks over to another. Let me ask you a question. And he sits there, the Bible says, for 3 days while the family is gone halfway and having to come back. He's standing there for 3 days confounding and declaring and speaking. Can I tell you something? It had to be an awesome experience to have made the world, to walk in the world, but at the same time, the world have no idea who you are. Have no idea who they're talking to and who they're dealing with. Let's go a little further. Verse 11. And he came unto his own. Now these are people that are supposed to know him, are expecting him, are looking forward to seeing him. But yet when he arrives, what happens? And his own did what? Received him not. Even though he fulfilled everything that the prophets had said what he would look like. Everything they declared. But at the same time, in fact, they even knew exactly where he would be born. It wasn't a secret. Oh, you'll be born in Bethlehem. Well, where was he born? Bethlehem. Right down to every detail. He was the one they were looking for, but at the same time, they would receive him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made what? See, that's really what God is trying to do. Can I tell you this morning that God wants to, more than anything else, He wants to make His Word operate through your flesh. He wants to take His Word and fill you. That's why our whole goal is to be like Christ, to be like Him. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but what it means is, as we walk along in this life, our ultimate goal to be like Him means that as we walk along, all the people see is the Word of God. All they experience is the Word of God. All they feel is the Word of God. All they get a taste of is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is made flesh. Oh, I got to get through this scripture where I can get to my sermon. Can't get through this. But as many as received Him, He gave them the power to become the sons of God that believe on His name, which were not born of blood, nor of will of flesh, or the will of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John did what? Bear witness of this truth. Everything. Jesus' whole life was to give the world an experience that He had never had before. Jesus' whole life was so the world could experience what it's like to be in the presence of God, to hear the Word of God, to be touched by God. I mean, think about how much of God it actually takes. We don't even hear anything after His birth up until the age nearly of 12. And at 12, we get just a little spidget of His life. But then for the next, what? 20? To the age of 30? How many years is that? 18 years? We hear absolutely nothing. Nothing about Him. He's just preparing. He's just getting it all lined up, all getting ready to do one thing for the world, to experience God. In fact, His own mother knows who He is. His own mother knows the power inside of Him. And at a wedding, she looks at the men beside and said, "Look, whatever that guy tells you to do, you just do it. You don't know who you're talking to, and you don't know who you're dealing with, but I do. And listen to me, whatever that guy tells you to do, you do." And he looks at her and he says, "Don't you know it's not time yet? Don't you know it's not time for this world to experience me? Don't you know the world isn't ready to face me, to deal with me, to hear from me? Don't you understand that the world is not prepared to hear me speak? The world can't stand it the moment I open my mouth and I begin to declare who I am. Don't you know the world can't handle who I am?" So over a brief 3.5 year ministry, that's all it took. Didn't even have to go to a major city. Never went to Rome. Never went anywhere that we would call a metropolitan city. But yet He just wanders around the shores of Galilee most of His ministry, healing sick people coming from all corners, trying to get to hear this man's Word, trying to be touched by His power, because all of a sudden the Word is made flesh and they're experiencing something that they've never experienced before. We have the whole entire Old Testament. We have the whole entire book of the Old Testament talking about Him, giving pieces of Him, but nothing compared to when God created Jesus Christ and put Him in flesh and then gave Him to us, and then for that 3.5 years, we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and full of grace and full of mercy and full of love. I'm telling you, He didn't say He knew a way. He didn't say He had found a way. He said He was the way. He said He didn't just know the truth. He hadn't just heard the truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't just come by and preach a sermon. He said, I am the sermon. Unless you drink My blood, unless you eat of My flesh, you can have no part of Me. He wasn't just simply there. He was the experience that God wants every one of us to have. Oh yeah. You may not get excited about this, but I want to tell you something. It is real stuff. And it has everything to do with the fact of whether I can move from where I am. From always these messed up relationships, always can't keep a job, always unhappy, always critical, always this, always that. Can I tell you something? It begins with the experiences in your life. You're going to have to be exposed to some things that you haven't been exposed to. You're going to have to experience some things you've never experienced to be able to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. And the first step in this process of moving is experiencing, exposing. Look at that person beside you and tell them, you'll have to experience some things. You'll have to experience some things. And look at them again and say, it's got to be new things. Same old First United on the Hill isn't going to cut it. 3 poems and a sermonette and come on down to the front if you feel like you need to. It ain't going to cut it. It may have worked in 1962 and the church may have busted out at the seams, but it's 2010 and you're still doing the same old thing, dressed in the same old clothes, acting the same old way, and God's miles down the road and you can't figure out why nobody wants to come anymore and why all the young people done pulled out and why nobody's excited about your church. Let me tell you something. You quit being a church a long time ago. You just became a habitation of what used to be. I got to stay calm on this thing now. And Jesus comes along and says, over this 3.5 years, I want you to experience. He exposed those disciples. He gave them experiences they would never be able to go back home from. I'm talking about walking into funeral processions and Jesus raising dead. I want to tell you, that'll change your philosophy of life. Lepers walking up and he starts shaking hands with them. Walking into the biggest church services, the Pharisees and all of them all dressed up, and here your man is, it's supposed to win the world. He looks at them and says, you're nothing but a bunch of snakes, bunch of cups cleaned on the outside and got cobwebs on it. And I see Peter going, oh my Lord, we all going to get killed. In fact, that's what one of them says. Thomas just makes it clear when they're going to go see Lazarus and they know it's close to Jerusalem where Lazarus lives. And Thomas said, well, we just want to go and die with him because we know what's fixing to happen. We know, because all of a sudden I'm being exposed and I'm being brought out. I'm being put in situations. I've been put on ships when I'm hungry and I can't get to the other side. I'm going through all of these problems because he's exposing all the things in me. He's showing me things I've never seen. He's giving me things that I've never touched, and he's giving me powers I've never possessed. First thing, as we understand this, there's some things I need you to grasp this morning. Number one, the hardest thing you'll ever do in life, the hardest thing you will ever do in life is to work with people who are not properly exposed. The hardest thing you'll ever do in life is to try to work with people who are not properly exposed. Maybe it's because their parents kept them so sheltered. They only saw church or saw God from one way. And trying to change them and to get them to see. Jesus spent 3.5 years with people that were not properly exposed. These were good people. Wonderful men. Godly men. But not properly exposed. And because of that, they didn't just reject. they sometimes fought against. They sometimes would carry Jesus off to the side and say, look, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to have to quit preaching like this. Because they're not properly exposed, we'll start telling God what we think He can do and can't do. We'll start telling God what we believe can happen and can't happen. We'll start walking in and say, well, God won't bless this. Like we all of a sudden know something, or we have figured out something. And the whole problem is that we've been so underexposed to the whole thing that God does, is that simply we are unable. Because when you are around people who are improperly exposed to things in life, here's what you're going to run into. You're going to run into critical people. They're going to be critical about anything you decide to do. I'm talking about they don't like the way you dress. They don't like the way you preach. They don't like the way you sing. They don't like the way you're doing it. They don't like anything about anything. Because the only thing they know, it's different than everything I ever had and anything I've ever done. And I just can't find somebody that'll do it right. Their limited exposure makes them critical. It also makes them narrow-minded. Man, just try to get them to do something. Say, hey, you dress up in some blue jeans and come up on the stage and help me Sunday. Oh, no, Brother Lott. No. I can't do that. I've never done that before. I don't know what would happen. I'd probably pass out. Well, you might not. Yeah, but I probably would. And so therefore, I'm not. In fact, I've about done figured it out in my mind that I will pass out. They're so narrow-minded in their thinking that they can't grasp anything new, different. Third thing you'll find out about them is they're very judgmental. You'll find out that since you're not doing it the way they're used to, and since you're not saying it the way they're used to, and since you do it different, don't worry, you will be the hot topic of conversation. I like that. I'd rather be talked about whether they're bad or good. Just talk about me. I done decided a long time ago, you ain't changing me. So I just, well, so just talk about me. If you got something good to say, say it. If you got something bad to say, let it take up your whole dinner. I mean, just give you indigestion talking about me the whole time. Doesn't bother me a bit. Because I done figured out that people who are narrow and people who are judgmental and people who are critical, that's what they do. And they walk in and they're upset. And they leave and they're upset. It don't take very long. They can walk into this church and they're going to find something wrong with it. Do you understand that? You can do everything right. You can send ushers outside to carry them in with umbrellas. You can smile in their face. You can say, boy, it's so good to have you. You can find them a seat. You can be nice to them. But it won't take very long. It's a white church. It won't take very long for their narrow-mindedness, their little old pea brain idea of what the world is, to shallow them out. It may go the other route. Don't want to be one-sided. They may walk in and say, there's black people in here. My goodness, how did this happen? It don't just work one way. It's anywhere you have decided. I can't get my mind around this. I become critical because I don't understand what they're doing. And I become judgmental because according to my way of thinking and my way of seeing it, they're doing it wrong. Yeah, but God's blessing them. Yeah, but it's still wrong. People are getting saved. If that's what you got to do to get saved, I'd just rather them stay, go to hell. No. You think that's wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I can carry you somebody with a different color or wear a pair of blue jeans into some churches, and they'd say, you're just going to hell, but you're not coming in here this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you that there's a world, not outside the church, but inside the church, that cannot go where it needs to go and cannot go to another level with God because they've got a narrow way of thinking and they got it all figured out and God can't get into their mind and God can't show them anything. Jesus walked among a whole world of people like this, healing people, doing miracles, walking on water, but yet they couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. They beheld His glory, but at the same time said, I don't know who you are. I have no idea who you are. They think the whole world is based on their experiences. Let me see if I can bring it down a notch. Let's put it this way. They went to Memphis one time. They went to Memphis one time, rode the trolley to the spaghetti warehouse, got back on the trolley, got back in their car, drove home, maybe have met four people, including the guy running the trolley and a waitress or two. And they're going to come back. You know what they're going to tell you? Oh, I know what Memphis is like. Oh, yeah, I know all about Memphis. You ever meet people like that? That'd be like me. I had a chance on our 10th anniversary. Somebody had given us my cousin, he's very wealthy, and so he said, Tim, I got a, in the middle of November, you know, when nobody else is there, he said, I got a week that you at least can come. If you'll fly in, I had no idea what it cost to fly, but glad it was my 10th anniversary. He said, if you can fly in, you got a free place to stay. So we flew into Maui. We stayed there for a week, had a wonderful time. But it'd be like me coming back after spending only 7 days in Maui, having seen probably a third of the whole place, coming back and say, oh, I can tell you all about Hawaii. Well, you've been to the Big Island? No, no, I ain't been, but they're all the same. They're all the same. I mean, you've been to one, you've been to all of them. All of them dress alike, all of them look alike. And you're going to meet people in your life who are going to tell you they know something. When they built all of it around this little bit of experience that they had. This 3 minutes that they got in the spotlight of something. And now they know all about it. They know everything there is to pastoring. And they know everything there is to singing. And they know everything. And they stand back and say, I could do that. Ain't nothing to that. I can do what Brother Lot does. Ain't nothing to it. Because they've seen a snapshot. If you're not careful, you'll get to be like that. You'll think you know something because you've experienced a couple minutes of it or an hour of it or maybe one vacation of it. Instead of truths, these people live on prejudices. Now, I know we use that word a lot. We use it as a racial thing. But can I tell you what prejudice really is? All prejudice is a prejudged idea. That's all it is. That's all prejudice is. You prejudice. Well, every one of us is. And so are you. You already think you know what I'm thinking. You as prejudiced as I am. Because all it is when I, in my life, decide I've got me a little bit of information, and from that I'm going to build the whole story. And I know what everybody's like built on that. I know how everybody is in Forest, Mississippi, based on the three people I met, and the couple I ran into, and the one that chewed me out at Walmart. I know everything there is to know about something, and it's called prejudice because it's a prejudged mindset. And we think we know that about people. We think we know that about towns. We think we know that about God. We think we know what God's thinking and what God's going to do and what He likes and doesn't like. And all of a sudden, God comes along and does something different and blows our mind, and we get all out of whack. Because here's our problem. We like to think we know everything. We cross our arms, stick out our bellies, and we like to think we know something. We've got it all figured out. Most of us sitting here this morning, if we shared half the junk in our life, it would embarrass us so bad. Number two. You may have to circle the aisle a few times because Jesus is different. Now, when I was growing up, I never ate salsa. You have to understand my prejudice. My prejudice comes from a mama who doesn't like spicy food. She doesn't like spicy food. It makes blisters on her tongue. So guess what? We never ate. You think my mama was going to go in the kitchen, spend 2 hours cooking a whole meal and make something she was not going to eat? So we didn't have no salsa night. We had a lot of spaghetti. We ate a lot of fried chicken. I can tell you all about it. String beans. I can tell you about garden food. That's what my dad would say. Nothing better than garden food, Tim. That's because that's all he ate. He didn't know anything else. Nothing better than just peas, fresh out of the garden. Fresh. That's all we had. So what else were we going to say was good? Nothing better than water cornbread. Ain't nothing better than just having water. I mean, it's better than milk cornbread. I mean, it's flatter and it don't rise like that. I like it flat and crusty. And the reason I like it flat and crusty because I've never had any that would rise and be buttermilk cornbread and be thick. Oh, don't look at me like that. Some of you, the way you still eat Wendy's burgers because you used to Wendy's burgers. That's the only burger there is in the world. And just nothing like a Wendy's burger. You never have tried the others. Never have gone down the road. I know I won't like them. I'm not even going to try it. Just to waste my money. So my life begins when I am exposed or I begin to experience. So I remember the first time I was introduced. I was with my uncle. He said, "Let's go eat Mexican." Mexican? I'd never been to a Mexican restaurant. I was 19 years old, never been to a Mexican restaurant. I said, "There's a such thing as a Mexican restaurant?" And all them fears come into my mind. My mom said, "Boy, you would eat that salsa and big old blisters come up on your tongue. You'll have sores in your mouth for 2 days." And I was thinking, okay, Uncle. Is there anything on there? I mean, has it got like regular food? It's all regular food. I'm talking about regular food. I walked in there, wasn't no fried chicken on the menu. Not even French fries. I thought, at least I'd get some French fries and ketchup. No, not here. It was Mexican. You can get rice and beans. What kind of beans? String beans? No, just beans. What they look like? And I saw somebody's plate come by and they were black. And I thought, those are beans? What happened to them? I'm serious. Now, when you're exposed to something, it's different. It bothers you. I mean, everything in you, your mind is clicking on everything been taught, everything that's been known, everything that you grounded your life on, and now it's all being ripped out from under you. And Jesus loves it. He's loving it because He says, "Tia, there's a big old world out there. There's a huge world. There's people with different colors, and there's people that talk different languages, and there's people that look different and have different cultures and do all kinds of things. And Tim, I want you to meet them all, and I don't want you to live in this little old box that you're in. I want you to come out, and I want you to see all that I've made and all that I've done." And my uncle said, "I'll order for you." I said, "Oh, Lord." He ordered me enchiladas. Man, I opened every one of them things. What's in there? Just chicken. I like chicken. What's the green stuff? That's just seasons and peppers. And they hot. And that was, usually when you're exposed, you got all the, you don't ever ask a question until all of a sudden you're uncomfortable. How long are we going to stay? I can do a men's trip. Lord, it's like pulling teeth. You ain't never seen a bunch of wimpy men. You go to a men's conference, they'll say every question, "We're going to spend the night. Who I got to sleep with? I'm not used to sleeping with somebody. I'll just bring my mattress. I'll sleep on the floor." "I'll tell you what, it's going to be in Jackson. Yeah, I'll just drive over there and I'll drive back and drive back next morning. That way I don't have to hang out. Well, I'm not used to that staying." Oh, don't look at me that way. Some of you men be in that car and you be driving the whole time. All because it's something so different to you. And you're going to get exposed to something you've never been exposed to. First time I ever had to do that, I ended up with Stan Monk. and stands three times my size. And he's a cuddler. And I am too. That was not good. Half the night he'd roll over, throw his leg over on me. The other half of the night I'd roll over, throw my leg up on him. And I was thinking, boy, Elise is getting big. Till I woke up. Whoa! But I have that story to tell. And I still, to this day, usually when I walk in there, they stick me with whoever they feel like is the one that snores the loudest or is the worst one to sleep with. They'll say, look, Pastor Lott with him. He don't care. Pastor Lott asleep. Because it don't bother. It's exposure. I don't care. It's going to come out of story. When we went fishing the other day, we lost two rod and reels. How can you fish 10 minutes and lose two rod and reels tied up in the motor? We can do it. One of them we didn't get, the other one just dangling behind the motor. But without exposure in your life, you don't have any experiences. And without experiences, you can't make decisions. You cannot make good decisions without being exposed to something. And so my life got what God was trying to do. He said, Tim, the reason I moved you around all these years, the reason I stuck you in all these schools, the reason you went through all this, because I want you to get used to exposure, because I'm going to throw a lot of people at a lot of different things and a lot of different problems and a lot of different situations, and most people can't handle it. But I want you to grin, and I want you to say, hey, I've never done that before. Let's try it. Hey, I've never experienced that before. I've never had to deal with that before. But there's a first time for everything. I'm like Adam said to Eve, I'll try anything once. I'm just that mindset, and I say to myself, I'm going to get through this with God's help. I'm going to go through this, and when they put them black beans and them enchiladas and all that on my plate and stuck that in front of me, the only thing I knew I had that I liked was sweet tea. I was holding that sweet tea glass as hard as I could. If all goes wrong, I'm drinking 10 glasses of sweet tea today. And I began to eat. And can I tell you, it was a little spicy because my palate was not used to it. See, Mom was right to some degree because she never ate spicy food and had not built up any taste. The first time she was going to eat it, it always put a blister on her, or it always did that to her. And so the first time I ate it, yes, it was. Nowhere near as bad as she said. But the fact was, is that yes, it was. And when I deal with Jesus, I have to understand that yes, He is different. I get so tired of people trying to make Jesus into this. Well, now, when you accept Jesus, nothing really has to change. He just loves you. He just wants to be a part of your life. Can I tell you something? When Jesus comes to your life, He don't become a part of your life. You lost your life. You lost it. He bought it. You lost it. He bought it. Now He's going to do what He wants to with it. It's going to be different than anything. You're going to talk different. You're going to walk different. You're going to have different friends. You're going to have different relationships. You're going to read different books. You're going to watch different TV shows. You're going to listen to different music. Everything's going to be different. Behold, all things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new. He is going to be a little different in your life. Number three. I got to hurry up and get through this thing. So number two, just to kind of make sure we're still on this page. I may not taste it right off because when I walked by the first time and I said, what you got there? Boudin. Boudin. What is boudin? Sausage. Sausage. What kind of sausage? See, I got all them questions. What's in it? Rice. I like rice. Liver. What kind of liver? Just liver. Just liver. Rice, liver, a few spices. And it's jammed up in a sausage. Is it hot? Well, it's not like regular sauce. It's got a kick to it. As my cousins would say, it got a kick to it. So I might take my buggy and I might do what? Let me think about that. God don't mind that. When God exposes you to something, you may have to take a few laps. I always tell people when they come here, give me 1 year. It ain't like you're doing anything else for the rest of your year. Give me 1 year. If you don't like it, go find you something else. But don't walk by the table and say, I don't know if I like that. I don't think I'm going to do it. You've never tried. You've never experienced it. It's different. It's going to challenge you. It's going to bother you. So when somebody said Budan, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it was. And so I pushed my buggy on along. I walked on along. I said, what do you got? Pepper jack cheese. Oh, Lord, there comes that hot stuff again. Pepper jack cheese. I never had all I've ever eaten is Velveeta. That's all we ever had, Velveeta. And we might get them single slices. And that's white. What's wrong with the cheese? It's supposed to be yellow. All good cheese has that orangish yellow look to it, don't it? It ain't white. No, it's just a different kind of cheese. I had to think about that. What you got? I got salsa. Is it hot? It's just medium. Medium compared to what? It's not hot. It won't burn. I mean, you'll know you're eating it. I love that saying. You know you put it in your mouth, but it won't hurt you. I had to think about that. So understand, sometimes I may be exposed to something, and it may startle me, scare me. I may have to step back for a moment. But don't think that's doing anything wrong. If you aren't being exposed to something that's making you scratch your head or have to go back to your Bible or make you have to really do some praying or some reading and do some fasting and some stuff, then you really haven't been exposed to very much. If it's just, well, I've been doing this for 30 years, going to church, going home, doing my thing, then it's not. But at the moment you're exposed to something, you may have to make another few trips around the aisle. You may have to kind of walk by it two or three times and see somebody else. You might even watch somebody else. I've done that. I sit there and watch somebody else put it in their mouth and wonder what. Now, we're hoping they're going to go, ooh, ooh. And then I'm like, no, I don't want none of that. Can I tell you, that's how we grew this church. We go to this church simply by doing this. People tasting it. And somebody standing in their family, around them, watching them. And what do? Man, it's good. You need to try that. I might do it. See, if you give somebody something, it's going to be a bad taste. That's what happens in a lot of places. Somebody comes to your place. They taste it. Ugh. But don't you know they're going to carry that word all over? They're going to carry it to Walmart. Don't go out there. Man, it's bad. Well, I ain't even tried it. Don't even waste your time. Won't even be worth a trip. I wouldn't even go. Or they go into Walmart because they taste it and they say, man, you need to go. It's going to challenge you now. Because you used about 30 minutes of preaching. Pastor Lott, he can make an hour in a second. And he's going to stretch you some. He's going to preach some stuff. It's probably going to get on your toes. And he's probably, but don't worry. Nobody's going to do anything out of the order. It's just going to be just simply challenging you to get with God and to do something. It's going to be probably a little new for you. You may have to make a few laps, but understand it's good for you. Number three. Ooh, I got to hurry. You may have to gain a taste for it because it's new. It's not familiar. Jesus didn't fit the palates of everybody. And Jesus won't fit the palate of your life. That's why Paul said, daily I have to crucify my flesh. Why? Because Jesus doesn't fit what's natural to me. It's natural for me to hide. It's natural for me to lie. It's natural for me to do those things. Yes, it is. Jesus isn't going to fit that. And so when I taste Him the first time, the prophet put it like this. He said, when I taste it, it's bitter to my taste. But when I swallowed it, it became honey to my soul. And Jesus works that way. You may walk up and you may say, let me try this pepper jack. It don't taste like American cheese. It's not bad. Pretty good. a little different. I don't know what I do with it. Because that's my thing. I don't know what I do with it. But then later, I started going to the grocery aisle. And I'd see that you can buy pepper jack cheese in slices just like you do sandwich. Oh. And I thought, you know what? My ham sandwich, I like to have a little pop on it. And I'll try everything like spicy mustard and all that kind of stuff. And I said, let's try. And man, I can take that ham, put it on a plate, lay that. Because it's a little harder. You notice that pepper jack cheese, it don't lay like. But you can lay that on top, put that microwave on for about a minute, 30 seconds, and boy, it just melts all over. And then you just scoop it up and put it on that bread, and now you're cooking. And see, I had it's different, so I had to figure out how I was going to use, how it was going to fit into my life, and how I had to make that work. I knew I liked it. I knew it was a part. And a lot of people are still that way with Jesus. They love Jesus. They like Jesus, but they hadn't figured out how to fit Him into their life. They hadn't worked with it. They hadn't allowed Him to have control. And some of us are still at that phase. And we think there's something wrong with us because He don't just, you know, poor Brother Lot, He just, look at you. I mean, you just get, you and God, you just do things, and man, you got, I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking 30 years of my life to get here. Me and Jesus didn't just start walking arm in arm. We didn't just all see eye to eye. It took a process of Him being able to get me to understand how He can be used in my life and how He could help me and enhance me, how He could bring experiences that I've never had and could lead me and guide me in places I've never been. And when the disciples see Him, that's how they see Him. He was in the world. He was a light that shined in the world, and the darkness didn't like it.
Number four. Let me say this. Our problem is that when we take on this mindset that He's different and we decide, I don't want to, because especially when somebody said, Budon. I eat cheese, so I could try. But I don't even know what Budon. I don't know what type of liver. It just says liver. You read the package. You know, it don't say beef liver, chicken liver. It just says liver. Rice, liver, and stuff. Cajun style. Okay. But because I've tried other experiences and now I'm used to experiences, I walk up and I'm like, I know I'm not going to like it. I know I'm not going to like it. See, some of you think you know things. In fact, it's so funny sometimes. Some of you think you know how to dress. I see people all the time look like they've been dropped out of an urban cowboy movie. And I'm thinking, I ain't seen a horse nowhere. Some of you ought to be real glad that plaid and it's coming back. You've been wearing them checkered shirts for years. You thought you'd been in style. Mm-mm. We think we know something. We think we know right down to how to dress, how to act, how to talk, how to do. But it just depends on where you're at. See, if I wear this to some churches, I don't know how to dress. There's no way I can have an anointing on my life to be dressed like this because their mind already has done decided, hey, this is useless. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. It won't do any good. It won't be any good anyway. Simply because I don't know how to dress. They done decided. They know how to dress. They know how to act. They know how to talk. They know the education you got to have to preach a sermon. I guess I get tickled the most when I see these little 15, 14, 16-year-old girls. It's so funny. They'll come home one day. I'm in love. You're in love. Oh, his name is Fred. He sits about three seats up front of me. He walks me to my locker. We talk all the time. Oh, I'm going to marry him. Fred. I'm telling you, there's nobody like Fred. He is the sweetest, nicest. I'd do anything for Fred. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? You hadn't met Joe. You hadn't met Louie. You hadn't went to college. There's going to be 6,000 of them there. Wait till you walk down there one block and all of a sudden you see all of them in all shapes, colors, and sizes. And you're like, hey, that's pretty good looking. Look at there. There's more fish in this pond than I thought there was. But our problem is we meet one friend. And because we're so narrow-minded and so, nobody else. Parents will sit there and try to tell you, look, you need to date around. Dump that one, go date his brother. You think I'm kidding? I dated twins. That's a fact. I dated one, 2 months later, I was dating the other one. I liked the other one better than I did the first one anyway. Mama still loves me. Treated her girls nicely. Y'all don't get it. The mindset is to have experiences, but what we do from the age of young, first thing we get our hands on, first little girlfriend we get, boy, oh. See these little boys? Like, are you out of your mind? Man, you want to set the record straight. Go date her best friend. Boy, that'll set the record straight right there. Your name in school then, you'll be the top dog. You will. It's not because you're being mean or ugly. It's because you're establishing the fact that I'm in this thing to experience some stuff. By some young girl, he was a nice guy and everything. He had $20 to take me out. You can take me out. Spend your money on me all you want. I'll see how I like it. If I don't like it, we won't go out again. If I do like it, I'll let you spend your money on me again. That's going to be life. Lord, first thing we run into. Oh, there's nothing like them. There's nobody like them. I'm thinking, come on. There's a whole world out there. But we're used to hamburger. And all we like is hamburger. All we eat is hamburger. And don't get upset, because I see 20-something-year-olds do the same thing. It gets real hard when you're a boy, because you start getting to that age where you want to get married, and you want to, you know, you start to get to where you feel like you're getting older, and it's time. You got to be careful at that moment, because, boy, the first little thing, it smiles at you. She smiled at me. I think she's the one. And what you're going to end up is, you're going to end up getting it. And there's a lot of us in this room, if we had to be honest, we married Fred. We married Fred, or we married Louise, or we married whoever it was, because at the moment we thought there was no other, and here we are 10 years later, we're thinking, what in the world did I do? Oh, I have. I'd have met 3 people I worked with at work that I thought, Lord, if I was just single. Now, that don't mean you can do anything. You're stuck. But I'm saying now, all of a sudden, it's coming back. Man, if I'd have just took a little bit of time, and if I'd have just thought a little while, if I'd have just taken my time and just saw that there's a lot more to experience than just the one or two or the three. See, my brother was totally different. Dated the same girl 6 years. Poor thing. She had a nervous breakdown when she finally... Not Trent. My little brother. I'm letting him off the hook. Man, I get calls from my mom. You know, he's not doing good. He's not doing good. Not doing good? What do you mean he's not doing good? Just one little old girl. Oh, you don't know what she meant to him, Tim. Thought it'd take me about 10 seconds to go down to Chili's and I would be able to find me somebody. I'd sit at that table by myself. I'd be standing right there watching them walk in. And when a group of them walked in together, I'd say, it'd be all right if I sit with y'all. I ain't got nobody to sit with tonight, and I won't bother you very much. And who knows, we might even like each other. Let's talk a little while. Y'all don't have that, do you? Y'all just sit over in the corner. I wish somebody would look at me. First thing they look at me, I know that has to be it. Come on. I got to get off of this. I'm going to hurt some kids' feelings. Number four, you must not go through life. You must not go through life not trying the new God wants you to be exposed to. Don't do it. Everything in your life moving forward begins. Now, when I say exposed, I don't mean go out and try drugs and try stuff. We're not talking. What I'm saying is the good things that God has provided, the world that He's provided for you to live in, to experience. I know it's going to break your heart. I don't listen to gospel music every second of the day. Does that just make me less? I'm not as spiritual as you are. Sometimes I just get burnt out. And I'm just like, man, I need to hear something else. Now, I don't mean I turn on rap. Because it ain't going to help me. Because here's why. I'll explain this. Explain this about rap music. Rap music comes from individuals who live on one corner. And they're trying to tell you the world is the way it is throughout the world because of that one corner. Some young kid can't really sing, but he can say the words. And he begins to tell you the whole world is like this, and all the girls are like this, and everything's like this. And that rascal ain't never been to Paris. He ain't never been out of the hood. All he's ever hung around his whole life is drug dealers, pushers, and pimps. And now he's going to tell you what the world is like. What's so funny is to watch some white kid from an urban neighborhood turn his head around sideways like he knows something. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And we live our lives the same way. We've been on that one corner. We know one thing. We've had one bad relationship. Now all women are the same. All men are the same. Because mama said so. And if you're not careful, you're going to live your life unexposed to all that there is in the world. And you're going to live your life making decisions uneducated and unable to make quality decisions. I don't like it. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried? You ever tried boudin? Raise your hand if you tried boudin. Raise your hand if you never tried boudin. Boudin is good. You know what boudin is, really? Tastes like? Jambalaya stuffed in a sausage. Now, if I ask you if you like jambalaya, you say, oh, yeah. But if I call it boudin, not this mouth. No way. And I've never tried it, but I already know I don't like it. Your whole world will end up messed up if you keep living your life making decisions like that. I remember we went motorcycle riding, and I'm coming to a close. All the motorcycle group, I love Chinese food. I mean, I love Chinese food. I ain't talking about just the rice and a few little things that look American. I mean, I love Chinese food. Japanese, that don't matter to me. I like it. Raw, uncooked, head is still on it. Don't bother me a bit. We went there to Laurel. We all got off of the motorcycles. Man, I found something I'd never tried before in my life. Squid salad. Little baby squid about this long. All stirred up in a bowl. I don't know what all spices. I don't know what all they put on. Man, I walked by that thing. I asked him, what is that? Squid salad. I said, Chunk, get over here. Man, I went back to the table. I ate my first bowl of squid. So I'd stick it, morning, my leg, stick it up and think, hey, chunk it in. And it was delicious. Everybody around me, all them tough motorcycle people, you know how they are. More Harley people, tough people. You want to try some squid? No. You that stuff? I don't even want to look at it.
And what was funny is people you don't think have the ability, and there's certain people I like, and I like them for this reason. They're not afraid of stuff. And sometimes they get you in trouble. It's like Jeffrey. See, I like Jeffrey. Jeffrey don't need no crotch rocket. But Jeffrey ain't afraid of stuff. And that's going to be dangerous sometimes when you go 150 miles an hour. But I had Johnny with me too. And Johnny, about his, you know, I ain't sure all the screws are screwed in all tight there. But he's my buddy, and usually if I try something, I can talk Johnny into it. Just call him Chicken, just, you know. Oh, you Chicken. Oh, don't call me Chicken. I'll cross him. Y'all know that's Johnny. Wherever he is, God help me. He's going to be coming up here hitting me in a second. And I said, Johnny, you got to try this. What's that? I said, come on. He went up there. Man, he ate every bit of it. He said, Pastor, that's good. I said, you want some more? He said, no. It was the thought of eating it. It was good. The taste was good. But it was the thought, you know. Like when I saw them little legs, I thought, okay, that'll be good. When he saw them little legs, he's thinking, oh, man, I can't believe I'm putting this in my mouth. And so the thing about life, you may not like boudin, and you're not going to make me mad. I'm not going to tell you you're a bad person because you don't like boudin. You don't like hymnals. You don't like that style. You don't like Southern gospel. You don't like this. You don't like... It don't make you bad, but try. Try. In life, God is going to give you opportunities for exposure. He's going to bring people in your life. He's going to bring opportunities. Try it. Pastor's going to come to you and he's going to say, hey, would you like to work in this? No, I don't. I've never done that before. Try it. You can always come back and say, Pastor, I tried it. And I mean, that's just not for me. I'm not going to look at you and say, quitter. I'm not going to do you that way. I'm going to say, thank you. We're going to find what it is you like to do. And just keep trying. Just keep working. Just keep jumping in. And don't worry about it. But somebody that's sitting on the third row or the tenth row, been there for 20 years, ain't quite found what they like to do yet, hadn't quite found something that fits them yet, I want to tell you, you never will. Because it's all about boudin and it's all about salsa. It'll never be something you're used to. It'll never be something you already know about. It'll always be a new experience. And it's got to be willing to get in the boat when nobody else is willing to get in the boat. And you've got to be willing to get out of the boat when nobody else wants to get out of the boat. And everything in your life this morning, everything begins with whether I can step out onto a new experience in my life. If I can't, then the results will always be the same. Well, Brother Lott, I may not like it. You know the way back. You know exactly where the old chair is. You know exactly where all the same row is. You can always go back. But there are moments in life when you may never have the opportunity to go forward. Will you stand with me?